Hot Sheet is here. Scotty Braun along with Baseball America's JJ Cooper and Jesus Cano. And this very much is playoff season, but it also is AFL season. Arizona Fall League happening now. Jesus is going to take center stage for us in a moment as we talk about it, and also look forward to talking to Enrique Bradfield Jr. from the Baltimore Orioles about how his AFL season is going right now. But let's hit the first move to get into the standouts. Okay. Jesus, you've been there for a minute. We're showing a nice, pretty graphic to those that are just listening of the 10 hottest fall league prospects. Take us through some of the standouts here.
I think immediately, if we're going to start off with somebody, it has to be Esmerlin Valdez. I mean, when you look at the power and everything he did this year, you know, he hit 5 home runs this week and hit, you know, 2 on Sunday to, you know, kind of, as the kids would say, have a 6-7 game to be able to do that. And it's just so impressive. And the reason I mentioned it is because I want to be able to draw the picture as to the dominance that Valdez has had on the power side. Last year, Josue Briseño in the AFL hit 10 home runs, and that was the first time I had reached that double-digit home run since 2011. Briseño didn't hit his 10th home run until November 13, right? Valdez is already, you know, 70% of that way, and it's only October 20th, right? So I think it just goes to show, you know, what the power that he's doing right now, and also what he's going to be able to accomplish soon. I mean, the AFL home run record, based on the research that we were able to do today, dating back to 2005, is 14 home runs, and Valdez really isn't that far from that mark, right? So just to see what he's been able to do, and it's also a really important offseason heading into him, just because the Pirates are going to need to make a decision on whether or not they're going to want to protect him from the Rule 5 draft, right? Because he's an interesting candidate, right? The power is obviously right there, and we have seen some improvement on the contact side. It's gone to around 70% right now. Doesn't have any AAA experience, as he's only reached AA, but he's, you know, hitting against a couple of hitters who've had AAA experience. So he's doing really well on that front. And yeah, I mean, the power surge has just been pretty amazing to see so far.
I would note, like with Valdez, like that, so that is that home run leaderboard we showed there, that is going back to the original AFL. Basically, we are talking about 30 plus years now. He is in rare air. We are talking about a guy who, that 7 home runs there, that's in 35 at bats. Plate appearances, I should say. That's one home run, basically, you know, 20% of the time when he's gone to the plate, he's hit a homer so far. I obviously don't think he'll be able to keep that rate up, but it is going to be almost a slump. It'll take a slump from him not to be in that top 2, that top 3, that top 4 when this all clears. But I do want to note, like, we saw this in the first half of this year in Greensboro from Valdez as well. He had 20 home runs in basically 80 games there in high A. The home runs kind of dropped off a little bit after he got promoted to to double A, to the Eastern League in Altoona. But there's real power here. This is a guy who I would say probably it's the Pirates. They should 100% consider him like a, you know, part of the long-term plan, because this is a team that needs offensive impact. Valdez is more of a bat than he is a glove, but they need that. To have a guy like him, to go with a guy like, you know, Edward Florentino's a little further away, and obviously Connor Griffin. We're starting to see some bats here in the Pirate system, in addition to obviously the arms that we could talk about all day with Skeens and Bubba Chandler and many others. But you saw also on that list, Tony Blanco Jr. also there. And Jesus, when we talk about the hardest hitting guys in baseball, not just the minor leagues, baseball as a whole, you would absolutely need to be mentioning Tony Blanco Jr. pretty quickly in that.
Yeah, 100%. It's like my favorite saying goes, when I see a guy hit the ball really hard, he hits the ball like it owes him money, man. Like, and you mentioned about the EV speeds and stuff like that, just to paint the picture, right? He's one of the hardest hitting hitters in the entire, you know, whether it's low A, double A, even the majors. His 95th percentile exit velocity, it's higher than O'Neill Cruz, it's higher than Ronald Acuña Jr., and it's higher than Jack Caglione. I mean, those are just insane numbers to be able to put for as a 20-year-old. And it's kind of hard to believe that he's just 20 years old, because he's just so massive, 6'7" frame. And he's still, even at that frame, it still like looked like he's growing into his body. But he's also growing into his game a little bit more, right? Just because when you look at the EBs, they're impressive. But then you look at the underlying numbers, right? And you look at the end zone whiff rate, it's over 30%. You look at the overall miss rate, it's above 40%. And as impressive as the, you know, the hit numbers are, the EBs are impressive, the end zone whiff rates and all that stuff, it's kind of, you know, that's kind of really concerning to see be able to do that at such a young age. But that's the key thing to remember, is he is a young player, right? And he's able, going to be able to learn off of that. And from the at-bats that I've been able to see in the Arizona Fall League, specifically this past Saturday at the Triple Header in Goodyear, I saw a lot of discipline at bats. I saw a good approach. I saw a little bit better with the strike zone recognition. But then there would also be flashes of, you know, kind of not so smart swing decisions, i.e. swinging at a ball that's on the other, in the other batter's box. But I have seen a lot better. And I think the most impressive thing, too, is him as a lower level player that's played in, you know, in low A. He's pitching against guys who pitched in double A and triple A, and he's seen a lot of success. I mean, up against, you know, this past weekend in the triple header, he's been able to do that against good pitching. And we're seeing that. I interviewed him on Saturday specifically, and he knows that he needs to get better at the plate. And that's exactly what he's been doing. He's been focusing on his eye recognition and just overall making better swing decisions to be able to have that power just show out through more and just make contact with the ball a lot more.
Okay. Public StatCast data for this year. So that's Major Leagues, that's AAA, that's Florida State League, that's Arizona Fall League. Hardest hit ball 2025, O'Neill Cruz, 122.9. Remember that home run? Number two, Tony Blanco Jr. Number three, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Number four, Shohei Ohtani. Number five, Tony Blanco Jr. Like, he's the only guy who has two of the five, two balls in the five hardest hit balls we've seen this year. It is real and spectacular power. Everything else needs to improve, but obviously that's what you have the minors for. When you have a guy who has an 80 tool, and when you talk about raw power, Tony Blanco Jr. has an 80 grade raw power. You give him plenty of time to develop everything else.
Should Pirates fans have any concern about the way that the team has developed O'Neill Cruz? Serviceable big league player, but he hasn't been what he could be, I think. That's fair to say.
I would say, yeah. I would also say, like, he also has kind of, I would say, like, when you could say him and you would say, like, okay, a guy like Tony Blanco Jr. who does have flaws that really need to be corrected. You know, even an Esmeralda Valdez who has flaws that need to be corrected. I would worry about it somewhat with guys like them. I do not worry about it nearly as much when we're talking about someone like Connor Griffin, because I do think that Connor Griffin is kind of one of those, basically it's not even a boulder. He's like this giant rock rolling down a hill, and you're just not going to stop him from figuring out a way to have success at the big league level, because he does so many different things well, and he's already shown aptitude to adjust. The Pirates have not had a great success record of developing hitters. They've done a really good job with pitchers, but it does seem like that maybe we're seeing some signs of hope there that this may be changing a little bit. And again, they need it to, because they need several of these guys to really step forward, because this is a team that has a ton of pitching, but we don't have nearly as much certainty as far as that big league lineup right now.
Exactly. Yeah, and this team needs offense, and they're not going to necessarily look outside the org for it. So we'll see if this talent actually develops at the big league level. All right, we're going to get ready for our guest back in a minute or less with Enrique Bradfield Jr.
For all you parents out there like me with teenagers, trying to already keep a million things under control, Cash App is here to help us make sure your teen's money and their spending isn't adding up to craziness.
With the Cash App card available to teens 13 to 17 with sponsorship by an eligible parent or guardian, every transaction triggers a real-time notification for you to see, empowering your teen to practice independence while giving you peace of mind by keeping track of their spending. You can also manage everything directly from your own Cash App account without having to switch between the two. With the Cash App card, you and your teen's balances receive 24/7 fraud monitoring, and if something ever feels off, you have the ability to lock their card right from your phone in just one tap. If you're ready to give your teen more independence while staying in the loop, start by downloading Cash App and setting up their account today. For a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code FAMILY10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Direct deposit and promotions provided by Cash App, a Block Inc. brand. Visit cashapp.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures.
Hey, we're back on Baseball America Hot Sheet, and we have our guest ready to go, Enrique Bradfield Jr., out in the Arizona Fall League, in the Orioles system, former first-round pick. Enrique, great to have you on the show, and I'm going to play director here real quick. Can we try to flip your phone horizontally So we get an even better shot here. Oh, there. Nice. There we go. Perfect. Right. Well, you nailed it. We appreciate the time. It's great to see you and the smile. And it looks like you're having fun out there. So first, just give me your overall sense of how things are going. How would you evaluate AFL season for you?
Everything's been good. It's been a lot of fun being out here, getting to meet the guys. Good weather, good golf. So I'm having a blast, definitely. It's been fun getting to be on the field, just playing every day, hanging out with the guys in the other orgs. So I'm having a great time.
Enrique, great to see you. You've always been known as one of the best defenders wherever you're playing. We've put an 80 on your defense and 80 on your speed. You're top of the scale grade. But I got to ask you, the catch you made this past week, where does that rank among your, the best catches I've made in my life?
Yeah, when I think about it, it's probably a top five. I think honestly, it really surprised me in the moment that I made that play, just because I thought it was a home run off the bat. I thought it was gone. I didn't think I had a chance to stay in the park. And I kind of just drifted over in the gap, looked at my left fielder, and I looked up and I'm like, wait, this ball is not headed towards him and it's definitely headed towards me. And it started coming down. I was like, I might be able to make a play. I went up, I got a glove on it, and the wall knocked it out of my glove, and I caught it with two hands on the way down. So it's definitely probably a top five play for me.
Okay, when you say that's a top five, is there a clear number one for you, or is it just that there's a group of them at the top?
Yeah, when I look at the plays I've made, I feel like the clear number one is a home run robbery I had against Arkansas back in 23 at Vandy. I just think the environment, the moment that game was in, I think we're down 6-0 or 8-0, and we came back and won in the last couple innings, and that was a play I made later in the game. So that was definitely, that's probably my number one when I think about it.
Hey, Enrique, and then just the unique thing about the Arizona Fall League is that you're playing extended time, but you're playing extended time with different players from different organizations. Just kind of, what have you learned being able to play from different players, just from different teams and stuff like that? Because I look at you guys, and there seems to be a lot of really good chemistry going on down there.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun. It's been cool hanging out with the guys from the Reds, the Padres, the Twins, and the Mariners. To be honest, I think it's just being able to learn different perspectives and hear about different people's experiences, their own journeys. You know, we have some, I guess, journeys that you could say that are a little unorthodox. Obviously, like, you have the guys who either went to college who are high school guys, but you have some guys who they thought baseball was going to be over. One of the guys, Hoops, is like that, and he's with the Twins. He's one of our pitchers. He had a 5-year college career and started working at Tread and figured out that he could really throw the baseball. So he's got picked up. He did one of the videos, and it went viral. So, being able to talk to him about his story has been incredible. Just meeting all these different guys and being able to share the clubhouse with them has been awesome.
Enrique, this year you made it to AAA. When you get to AAA, you know that the next call from there is the one that you've been waiting for, probably, you know, dreamed of for years. Going into 26, AFL and then going into 26, what does it feel like? What are you thinking about? You know, what do you feel like you still need to add that final bit of polish to get that call to come up to Baltimore?
I guess going into 26, I just want the job. Feel like the job is going to be for me to take. I'm definitely going to show up to camp with that mentality, just to go in there, work hard every day. You know, whether they think I'm ready for it at a camp or not, it doesn't really matter to me. I think it's mine. I'm going to go in there and try and win it. So that's kind of how I'm really going to treat it.
So
getting the right people in the door quick is critical to maintain your company's workflow. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed Sponsored Jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast because it puts the best and most qualified candidates in front of you quickly. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. The holidays can sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has a host of unique, high-quality, and often handmade gifts, many of which are crafted by independent artists and small businesses. That attention to detail often means products are made in small batches, so the best finds can sell out fast, like the book of famous Dodgers newspaper clippings ordered on Uncommon Goods that I received as a birthday gift. It was a special present catered to my liking that can't be found anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard baseball fans like me, to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're not only finding the best and most unique gifts for the people you care about, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice and have donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/BA2022. That's uncommongoods.com/BA2022 for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
This week you had multiple games. Single, steal second, steal third. Single, steal second, steal third. I know you're a guy who's, you know, who's always stolen bases, but like, is there a mentality you have now that feels like, okay, it, you know, basically you can have extra base hits by hitting a double, hitting a triple, hitting a homer, but singles for you are turning into extra base hits these days?
Yeah, honestly, I'm just trying to play aggressive. Every time I go out there, I want to be aggressive. I want the opposing team to hate me for the right reasons. I want to play hard. I want to play fast. I want to be able to get the job done and put pressure on the opposing team and just really change the game. You can impact the game in so many different ways. So honestly, I'm trying to do a little bit of everything. I feel really good in the box right now. I'm swinging the bat well. I'm hitting the ball hard. And it's really starting to bring out some confidence, I guess, I haven't had in quite some time. But at the same time, this is the best I've ever felt physically. So I'm finally past all the injuries and stuff like that. And I'm just really happy to be out here. I'm grateful for every moment that I get to take the field, and I'm really just enjoying it.
So Caleb Durbin holds the AFL stolen base record, set it last year, 29. And he's the only one also, him and Eric Young Jr., the only other, you know, guys to get over 20. How doable does that feel? I mean, looking at what you're doing so far, those numbers seem pretty plausible. Is it something that you're thinking about at all, or is it just day by day?
No, it's day by day. To be honest, I never really know what's going on past the next day. I honestly just try and show up every day with a clean slate, no matter what happened the day before, good or bad, and just really put one foot in front of the next and work hard. I'm just trying to figure out ways to get better on a daily basis, and whatever happens at the end of it, it's going to take care of itself. I know that if I can handle the days and win the days over the course of the next 4 or 5 weeks or whatever the rest of this fall league is, I'm going to be fine regardless.
And then Enrique, I mean, just for you, you know, you've been in the organization for a bit. How do you feel like the Orioles have helped you grow as a player from when you were drafted to where you're at right now?
Yeah, definitely a lot of great people, a lot of great resources from the hitting department, from the field coordinators. A lot of the staff has really helped kind of just guide my perspective. As I move up levels, each level has taught me different experiences, whether that be coming from coaching staff, my manager at whatever level I'm playing at. They've honestly just helped me grow and just figure out what's going to work best for me when I get to the big leagues. Obviously, it's nice to play well in the minors, but at the end of the day, nobody really cares about minor league stats. You're just trying to set yourself up to make it to the big leagues and to stay there and be successful in the big leagues. So at the end of the day, whether I had a good minor league stat line or not, I don't really care about it. I'm just honestly trying to get better and prepare myself to be ready for whenever that time comes that I'm in the big leagues.
Speaking of the big leagues, so was there any players, or are there any players even now, or players when you were growing up that you kind of looked at, you kind of watched and said, hey, that's who I want to model my game after?
When I was younger, you know, I was a huge Florida Marlins fan before they changed the team name and moved the team. It's actually pretty close to my house down in Florida. So I was a huge Hanley Ramirez fan. I wanted to be like him, even though I'm lefty and he plays shortstop. I'm an outfielder, but he was the type of guy that I love watching. And then there's a couple other guys that I remember watching when I was younger. Juan Pierre, towards the back of his career, and I've actually got a chance to meet him on several occasions and be able to talk to him about the game, being that he's a South Florida guy. So just guys like him, I feel like are the best type of players. They did a little bit of everything, but they were so – they created chaos for the opposing team no matter how it came, whether it was a walk, a steal, a bunt, a line drive, and then they could really go play defense. So ultimately that's kind of where I see myself headed. Do I care about power? Not really, because I'm still hitting the ball hard. I'm going to hit those line drives, and those singles are turning into triples, and that's going to be my slug, and I'm more than okay with that.
Hey, Enrique, last one for you. It's a super relevant topic this week. We're going to get into it right after our conversation with you. Tony Vitello is rumored to be in talks with the Giants. It sounds like it's going to happen in the next 24 to 48 hours. My question for you is about how you think a prominent college coach would do jumping right into the scene with a major league team. I know you're not in the bigs yet, but now you went from obviously a prominent program you played against Tennessee into the pros. How do you think that will play out? And like, what is maybe one thing that you think is super different for coaches from the college game to the pros?
Yeah, it's I guess I'm going to say I'm interested to see if it happens and what it's going to look like when it happens. It's a completely different space. When you're in college, as a coach, you're trying to build your program and give your team the best shot at success. And ultimately, you're trying to do that in the big leagues as well. But it's a little bit different. The factors, obviously, for obvious reasons, are different. So I think it's going to be – it might be a tough task, but obviously Tony's a very good coach. He's done a hell of a job with that program at Tennessee. I've got to meet him on a couple of different occasions. A very nice guy. So I think he, regardless of whether he takes a job or not, I feel like he'll be fine either way. If he does, I hope he has the success, the best success with the Giants, if that's the case.
If he does and it works, you know there will be more cases like that. This is like the test bunny situation here. Well, Enrique, great answer. Great talking to you. I hope you enjoyed it. Great getting to know you, and have fun out there in the Arizona Fall League.
Thank you. I'm about to go hit the course with the boys, so enjoy some good golf out here.
Nothing like it this time of year in Arizona. Appreciate you. Have fun out there.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That's Enrique Bradfield Jr., Baltimore Orioles system. And we can keep rolling here. We'll be right back first. Give us a quick minute, and then we're going to get into that Vitello story.
Let's take you through the Arena Club Slab Pack experience. This is part two, because Todd Father last week pulled a card that he didn't love, yet he sold it back for actually more than what the Slab Pack cost. This time, pulls a card that he likes.
Yeah, and this is the best part of it. Ronnie Mauricio, the Mets standout, you know, rookie sensation. He's been absolutely phenomenal. I like the itch of seeing what you're going to get. You know, I like prospects. I don't love them, but seeing this kind of card is actually absolutely beautiful thing. I know a couple people around town that would absolutely love that card. So there's going to be a lot of conversations going on here for Arena Club.
And what you do is you have it in your digital showroom. If you want to hand it out locally, then cool. You ask Arena Club to send it to you, and they do. Or you can sell it back, like you see there, instant offer for $193, but he's keeping it. And you can do what Todd Father does by going to arenaclub.com/foul and getting 20% off your first card purchase or your first slab pack purchase.
Let's hit the final sprint. Boom. Just like that, Ben Badler joins us for this in-depth conversation about Tony Vitello and the likelihood that he is going to jump from Tennessee to the San Francisco Giants to manage a Major League Baseball team. No prior Major League coaching experience. JJ, I know you got something good for me on this one, and you'll be fascinated to follow it too.
Yeah, this is right up our alley. Obviously, we cover Tony, we cover college baseball in depth. We cover major leagues. We cover the minor leagues. This would be, as everyone knows, this would be unprecedented. But at the same time, there is a logic to this. It's unconventional, but it's high risk and potentially high reward. The thing that jumps out here with Tony Vitello is, yes, he is one of the best coaches in college baseball. But also, we got to realize that college baseball nowadays is kind of running a college baseball team. There's a lot of evaluation and development to that, like there is obviously in pro ball. Like, the transfer portal has increased that, because every year you have to not just get recruiting classes, but you have to basically evaluate and say, this is the player who we could plug in and fill this hole that we have, and we'll be ready to hit the ground running and coming from, and we can make that adjustment, that evaluation that they're playing coming from this D2 program, this mid-major program, whatever it is. Obviously, that's not the exact same thing as a Major League Baseball manager's job, but at the same time, there is kind of, we are seeing players move quicker into the major leagues. There is a little bit more of the development at the major league level. I think some teams have really run into trouble in recent years because their players kind of hit the major league level and then they don't really develop further. We'll see if this could work, but if it did, it really, as you said earlier, Scott, could kind of open the doors that this would not be the only move like this we see in the next few years, because the potential reward of this is you've just untapped a whole new, fertile area of potential manager candidates.
Yeah, if the Giants are able to hire Tony Vitello, I love this move. I think it's overdue for teams to rethink their hiring models when it comes to major league managers. This industry just way over indexes on MLB playing experience. Just look around the game at who managers are right now. Not in every case, but in general, teams hire managers who have MLB playing experience, and that experience has value, but having the physical skill to have played baseball at the highest level is not a requirement, or should not be a requirement, to be a manager or to be a good manager. I mean, you just look around other sports, the NFL, Bill Belichick, maybe the greatest head coach of all time, never played in the NFL. In basketball, Greg Popovich, never played in the NBA. Like, you don't need to have played in the big leagues to be great with the X's and O's, with the in-game strategy, with leading and managing a clubhouse. And when you're hiring a manager, I mean, what are you basing the decision on? If you're hiring somebody, obviously, who has previous MLB managing experience, okay, you have track record to go on. But if you're hiring a first-year manager, then what? I mean, all right, maybe you're promoting somebody within your own organization who you know and have familiarity with, but if it's an outside hire, a bench coach from another team, a third base coach from another club, you can go off interviews, reputation, things that they've said publicly before, but they've never been in that top seat before. Whereas with a college coach, like JJ was saying, I mean, whether you're talking about somebody like Jay Johnson at LSU, who's built multiple programs into Omaha teams, or Tony Vitello, who's won a national championship at LSU after turning around a struggling Tennessee program, you have a lot more proof of competence in that role. I mean, compared to, a major league manager or a bench coach, a college head coach has a lot more responsibilities, the scouting, the recruiting of players, leading the development of players, which I think is something that is important and overlooked for MLB managers, for managing a clubhouse and being in charge of in-game tactics, strategies, bullpen moves, all that. And you have that proven track record with Tony Vitello of building a winning team, the in-game management experience, dealing with the media, managing players. Obviously, it's not, the exact same thing doing it in college compared to doing it at the MLB level. And he's going to have to get up to speed on the current players in the big leagues and all that, and the differences between the pro and the college game. And he's not going to have as much control over picking the players that he did at Tennessee that he's going to have as a manager if he does get, you know, finalized into that role. But there is obviously a lot of overlap in the skill set, in the responsibilities, and Tony Vitello has proved himself to be one of the best college baseball coaches on the planet. So I think his skill set is going to translate well to the major league game. And I think more MLB teams should be reevaluating how they go about hiring managers.
The other thing I would just say about this is if you look at the Giants doing something unconventional here makes a lot of sense also from the standpoint of that they're in a division where the Dodgers have dominated. And if you can find, you're always trying to find edges. Well, you can find an edge by hitting that home run higher as a manager, but if you go to the same well that everyone else is going to, probably a little less likely to do that than if you say, hey, we are going somewhere that has never been tapped, that is untapped fertile territory. There's the possibility this could succeed. If it fails, okay, then you go back to the same roles, and the same, ideas that everyone else has. But it's worth taking a swing and seeing if it works out.
Yeah, teams are looking for an edge. This could be an edge for the Giants, right? A lot of the teams have the same information. So this could be something for them to find a deeper talent pool. We'll see what happens. Of course, Baseball America is going to be all over this story throughout the week, especially if it does end up happening. Even if it doesn't, it's still very interesting. So stay tuned. Make sure you have your Baseball America subscription. Thanks for watching Hot Sheet, and we will see you next week.